I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear viewers of Madri Channel, welcome back to another episode of I Love Islam. Subhanallah, this is our weekly program. Alhamdulillah, we're back again. And today we have a very important topic that we will be discussing. And that is lessons of Karbala. Allahu Akbar, very important topic. Something that we will be discussing today and we'll be talking about the lessons we can learn from this great tragedy. But before this, let's quickly see who's with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Arkham bhai?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Thank you for joining us once again. Alhamdulillah, we have a packed schedule. We've got different segments that we'll be discussing. We've got story time, and today, like I mentioned earlier on, we are going to talk about lessons of Karbala. Then we have the segment Sunnah lifestyle. We'll be discussing a different topic. Subhanallah, we'll be learning a beautiful Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we've got a topic, a segment called Islamic rulings, and then we will end it with Islamic manners. But for now, I think it's time to move on to our first segment of the day, which is story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Story time. And today we have a very important topic that we will be discussing, and that is lessons of Karbala. But before we actually go into the lessons, I've observed something over the last some days, and that is there are many kids out there, even elders as well, who don't actually know what Karbala is. So before we actually talk about, you know, what happened there and how did these things take place, we need to know what Karbala is and who are the key members, key characters that we need to talk about, we need to be aware of. That's the first thing that we need to do. So let me quickly go to Brother Arkham and let's find out some basic facts about Karbala, about this incident. Then we'll give you a quick timeline of this whole tragedy that took place. Then inshallah, we'll go towards the lessons as well, inshallah. By the way, if you're watching this program, can I request you one thing? Why don't you ring a friend or your cousins and let them know I Love Islam is back? Tell them to watch this program so they can benefit from the knowledge that is being shared through Madani Channel via this program. So let them know, get your friends or cousins and give them a phone call. If there's any adults who are watching this program and your kids are not watching with you, what's going on here? Can you please get your kids together as well? All of you as a family, watch this program, because today we are going to talk about the lessons of Karbala. Right, Brother Arkham? First of all, can you please help us? There are many kids out there who don't actually know what is Karbala.
So Karbala is a place.
And so that's first thing. It's a place. But is it a place in where? Somewhere on the earth?
Yeah.
Bit more specific. Where is it? Which country is it in?
So it's in Iraq.
Okay. So Karbala is a place in Iraq, not far from Baghdad, which is the capital. Okay, so it's a place called Karbala that we are going to talk about. And in this place of Karbala, a great tragedy that took place on the 10th of Muharram. It was 61 Hijri. Hijri is the Islamic calendar. So the Islamic year was 61. So that means nearly 1400 years ago, this incident took place on the plains of Karbala, which
this
is in Iraq.
How important that incident is, that 1400 years later, we are still talking about that incident.
Yes,
that's how important this
incident is. That's how important this incident is.
Before going into the actual incident, it's important to understand who Imam Hussein was as well.
Yeah. So who is Imam Hussein? Do you know who is Imam Hussein? Come on, do you know? Come on, let's find out then. Come, Brother Arkam. Who is Imam Hussein?
Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the grandson of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
That's how close he was to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
It's mentioned he's one of the leaders of the youth of paradise.
Subhanallah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him as his flower.
Allah.
This is how much our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him. This is the person who we're talking about.
Allah.
This incident where we talk about the family got martyred, the family of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu got martyred. This is the individual who we are talking about.
Allah.
He's no normal or ordinary individual. So it's important to recognize who we are talking about as well.
Allah. It's so sad, isn't it? How evil and oppressed people, oppressors,
yeah,
and cruel people were there, that they didn't even look at the connection,
yeah,
of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the blood of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful grandson, and then it was his children,
yeah,
his cousins, and the other family members, relatives, and the companions. There were 72 of them, and these people on this plains of Karbala, when these whole group of Imam Hussein, when they got encircled, in total they were 82 people.
Yes.
This included women, children, included slaves, included just normal people, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were Sahaba there, there were household members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these people were not there for any particular battle or a fight. They didn't have any provision, they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were encircled, yeah, they were blocked from their journey. And on the other side, there were about 22,000 people. And I'm going to say, although they were, you know, fully loaded with weapons of that time, they had horses, they had the artillery of that time, but even then, 22,000 people, I would say they were cowards. Yeah, they were shameful people. They didn't even have, you know, any shame and, you know, haya, like we say, and any respect for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they knew what they were doing. It wasn't like it would happen accidentally.
No.
They knew what they were doing.
And Tawfiq bhai, you know, this oppression is bad with whoever it's done with.
Yeah.
But it made it even worse that it's those close family members of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So I think before we actually discuss what happened on the day and we go into deep, I think it's important we go a bit back. Let's try to understand. Remember, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Since his whole life, from the birth, from the childhood, all the way to teenage, adult age, he spent his whole life in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. He grew up, you know, as a child, you know, in the laps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he grew up, you know, seeing the love of his own honorable parents, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the honorable and great Sahaba, you know, by the likes of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, and the rest, great, great companions, you know, they used to give so much love and affection to this great personality. And what happened in the year 60, it was the 60th year, the month was Rajab. What happened, the leader of the Muslims at that time, we could say the first king of Islam, was Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is a great Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a leader of Islam. And Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the month of Rajab of 60 Hijri. And then as soon as this great personality passed away, his son, who is known as Yazid, and this is very important, all the kids who are watching this, it's important to be aware of this character. He was a person with evil character. You could think whatever bad that you could think of people, he had that in him. Even the people at that time, there are read in some narrations that the companions have written about him that he was that type of person, even the worst people would have shame.
Yazid was.
The Yazid, that's how bad he was. Yeah, and so he had all sort of bad habits in him. He was alcoholic, he used to lie, he was lazy in salah. He used to do many wrong things that are forbidden in Islam, he made them halal. And he was not a nice person, he was a transgressor, he was an oppressor. But what happened when the Honorable Father, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, passed away in the month of Rajab, the son, Yazid, he was power hungry. He wanted the throne. He wanted to become the king. He wanted people to follow him. He wanted to rule. So he had that thirst, the hunger for power. So what he does, he sends a letter out to different governors, like in modern day we say councillors or MPs. Yeah, he sends some letters to so many places, from city to city, from country to country.
The leaders of those different areas, he sent letters.
Yeah, he sent letters to them saying that because my father has passed away, now I want you to accept me as a leader and give your allegiance to me, give your pledge to me, and you will be fine and you will get this, you know, incentive he used to give to the people.
Yeah.
And well, some people started following him. Yes, whilst this is happening, they sent one person, they call it Amil. He was an Amil, he was instructed to come to Medina Sharif and give this letter of Yazid to the beloved grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this letter, he had that same request that please, oh grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please accept me as a leader, and you know, this will be a great honor for me, and whatever words he used, yeah, to show that, you know, this will be a really great thing for me, and will be everything will be happy, you will get so many things, etc., etc. And but Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he knew Yazid very well, and when that person came with the message, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, whatever happens, and remember this, I'm going to take a little pause. At that moment, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew, was fully aware, there's two options. One, I accept him as a leader. Second option is, I reject him. But if I was to accept him, then this will make him more, he'll become more like strong in doing wrong things.
He'll have more influence.
He'll be more open.
People.
Yeah, you know, he's doing all sort of crimes, but now he will openly do them things. He will oppress.
Because
he will spread cruelty.
Before he was doing it himself, and then if Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave allegiance to him, he would have done it openly and other people would have followed him as well.
And that would really make the teachings of Islam, you know, spread very difficult.
Yeah.
And people will turn to his side and they will start doing wrong things as well.
Because they will look at the leader and they will think the leader is doing it, so we can do it as well.
So one side it was this, that if, and both, the thing is, the good side to this would have been, maybe there would be no, like, you know, anger from the other camp. And maybe, you know, financially, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu could have been well off.
Yeah.
And Yazid could have offered them some incentives,
yeah,
and give you so much wealth, etc. But Imam Hussein knew his character.
Subhanallah.
And the leader of Muslims cannot have that character. And now Imam Hussein, the second option that Imam Hussein has, it was to reject him. And if Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was to reject him as a leader, then Imam Hussein knew there'd be a backlash. There would be a massive backlash. There'll be anger in the camp of Yazid, and there could be bloodshed. There could be fight. There could be murders. It could go crazy, because Yazid wasn't gonna give up. He'll do whatever he can do to get, you know, Imam Hussein to agree on the allegiance. So, but Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu took this stance firm stance and said to the guy, I'm not going to give my allegiance to him. And immediately, there was a kickoff. There was a hype on the other side, anger. And things could have gone really bad. Remember, this is in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Millions of people around the world, you know, all the world, we yearn, we long to spend even some moments in Madinatul Munawwara. Every Ashiqi Rasul, every lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a dream to spend moments and his life in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Madina Sharif is a place of magnet. It's a magnet. It brings people, attracts people. It brings the hearts towards this place. It
gives you peace.
It's a place of peace and nur and tranquility. Subhanallah. And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he could not see bloodshed in that place. He wanted to keep the harmony and peace and, you know, happy days in that place, and thought, but now, because I've said no to Yazid, that's it now. Things are going to go very difficult. Anything can happen now. Yeah. And just to give you an understanding, you know, some years ago when we had COVID, yeah, when this lockdown and all these things died, you know, all around the world, it was like a panic situation.
Yeah.
People didn't know what's going to happen. People were scared, and there are people who froze.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
They wouldn't eat properly. They wouldn't leave their homes for months,
yeah,
and if not for a year. And people struggled, even yeah, mentally. It's had impact on people. Like they're still struggling. Yeah. So you can say recently we've had that type of scenario where things become very difficult for us. But that was the occasion when we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other close family members and the companions, they made a decision that somehow we need to leave. And it is reported, it was the same night of 4th of Sha'ban. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the month of Rajab. In the following month, in 4th of Sha'ban, 60 Hijri, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu made the decision to leave the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Brother Arkam, just try to imagine how difficult and painful it was. That moment when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu had made this decision, that, and he gave his presence, his hazri, his attendance in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, final hazri, and you know how painful that would have been.
But one side is leaving Madinatul Munawwara is difficult for anybody.
Allah.
And then Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is the place he's grown up, his family was, his grandfather, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there. He's leaving that city. Now imagine us, if we take away the side of leaving Madinatul Munawwara, just leaving the area where we grew up, where all our friends are, all our family is, the place where we've spent 20, 30 years, and then we have to leave that area. How difficult is that for us to leave our own area where we were born, where we grown up, where our family, where our friends are, where our grandparents are? How difficult is that for us? That's just a glimpse into looking at how difficult this decision was for the grandson of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then on top of that, it's leaving the city of Madinatul Munawwara. It's that city where everyone wants to go to. Nobody wants to leave that city. Just imagine the feelings.
Allahu Akbar. That was a painful moment in the history when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave his hazri in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the last time. Just imagine how he would be crying out, the whole camp, the sahaba who were there, that now this is the place where I'm so attached to. My granddad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here, and I'm now being forced to leave this.
And this reason of not wanting bloodshed in the city of Madinatul Munawwara is a very important reason, and it gives us a massive lesson.
Allah.
That this is the sanctity of Madinatul Munawwara.
Allahu Akbar. As you could probably imagine, this topic is so intense that in a short program or in one segment, we can't really cover this topic, the timeline of Karbala. And already, you know, we've gone quite into detail, and there's still many things that we have to leave. And there's so many other things that will come forward, but looking at the time, we will try to move forward and just summarize a few of the points Because today's topic, we want to discuss the lessons of Karbala. We want to keep that as a main focus. So next, you know, so many minutes, inshallah, we're going to continue to give you a bit of summary of what actually happened. But then, inshallah, we're going to move on to the lessons for us to keep in mind. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu left the city of Madinatul Munawwara and he traveled to Makkah Sharif. And he remained there for a while. What happened there? Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu received some letters from a place called Kufa. Kufa is a city in Iraq. And people from Kufa, they used to write letters or requests to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu well before as well. Even during the time of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to have requests. But remember, people of Kufa were known for their false promises. They were known for their trickeries. Then people didn't trust them because of the history, the things that probably would have happened in the past.
They were known for lying.
And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't give them, like, you know, the signs that he will travel. But now the climate, the environment changed. And he's in Makkah Sharif. And then people have become aware, the people of Kufa. So many people started writing letters. And it wasn't like one letter or two letters. According to one report, there were around 150 letters. 150 requests to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asking Imam Hussein to please come to Kufa. Come stay with us. We will follow you. We will follow your guidance. We need your guidance. If you don't come to us, then there is a danger that the people of Yazid will become the rulers here, and they will spread wrong beliefs, wrong practices, and the Muslims here, they will turn bad then. So to save our iman, to save our practices, for the sake of our generations, please come and save us. And this was not like one letter, 150 letters, and so many requests. Now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, started considering what to do. So took advice from other senior companions, the Sahaba who were there, alayhim ridwan. And whilst, you know, taking advice from them companions, remember this group of senior Sahaba, they weren't just, every Sahabi is unique, is great. But these were some senior Sahaba, senior companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the likes of Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Umar, Sayyiduna Jabir, Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri, and many other Sahaba alayhim ridwan. They were with this very firm mindset, O grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever happens, please don't leave from here. Do not go to Kufa. They were very strong. They said, please, no, we don't advise you to go there. And now on one side, it was actually a difficult situation. One side, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has like advice of these senior companions of no, don't go to Kufa. But on the other side, there are about 150 letters and request that please come to Kufa, help us, please come.
On that side, it's the fear that the coming generations of that place will become misguided if he doesn't go.
Yeah, and that was the main thing to keep in mind, that if Imam Hussein, there was two things. If Imam Hussein went, then there's a chance that these companions, they would feel sad that our advice wasn't taken. And it was due to security reasons.
And with their wisdom, they knew what the people of the area are like.
And on the other side, if Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't go, then there was a danger that the people of Yazid would rule that place of Kufa. And remember them, they were thousands. They were like only like a few hundred people. That whole area, you could say, probably had like maybe tens of thousands of people there. 20,000, 30,000, Allah knows best. But thousands of people were there. So it wasn't a small number. It's a big area that it would have got covered. So scholars have written that Imam Hussein thought, on one side is the senior companions, and you know, and they love me so much, they show so much respect and love, I can't just disregard them. But on the other side, the request of the people of Kufa, if I don't go, and if Yazid takes over and it spreads corruption and evil practices there, and they lose their iman or they turn bad, and on the day of Qiyamah, if the people of Kufa get together in the court of Allah and say to Allah, Ya Allah, it's not our fault that we did wrong things. Ya Allah, we sent letters to the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We requested him so many times. It wasn't once or twice. We sent over 100 letters requesting him, please come to Kufa, help us, save our iman. But even then, the grandson of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't come. So this fear was there. Scholars have written, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that these people, what if I'm questioned on the day of Qiyamah, what am I going to say? So now Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu came with this strategy that we'll send one companion or a group of people to Kufa. They will go there, monitor the situation, and if they give us the green light, then we'll travel.
And this is, in a way, acting in accordance with the advice of those companions,
yeah,
that don't go because of security reasons. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before going, he's sending people to check is there security concerns or not. Because on one side, I'm not going because of security concerns, and on the other side, those people of Kufa, like you mentioned, might hold me to account on the day.
SubhanAllah, that's something really nice you touched upon, Brother Akram. That on this note, it is important for us to keep in mind, one lesson that we can learn is when elders give you advice,
yeah,
don't disregard them.
Yeah.
Value their advice. Remember, they've lived on the earth way longer than us. So if it's your grandparents or aunties or any elder person, remember, they've got more experience in life. They will be aware of many things that you're not aware of. You're not even gone through them issues yet. You think you know loads of things, but you don't have the experience of life that they have. They might not have the same education. Generally, I'm talking about in today's time, your elders or aunties or elder, you know, generation, they might not have the same level of education as you may have, but they've got one thing that you don't have, is life experience. Yeah, so when elders give you advice, you know, don't just, you know, brush it to the side. No, honor that.
Yeah, that's one of the lessons of Karbala.
SubhanAllah.
And it's one of the lessons we don't normally think about.
SubhanAllah. Please keep that note, make note of that lesson, and make sure you implement that in your life. And now what happened, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent his own cousin, his uncle's son, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for this task. So Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveled to Kufa, and the people of Kufa, they gave a beautiful, you know, excellent welcoming. And you know, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so happy, you know, with the environment and the welcoming and the love that these people showed. And you know, when you go there to monitor things, you see this type of attachment, and you really want to, you know, as soon as possible, you want to let Imam Hussain know the situation so they can come as well. So what happened, Imam, when people started giving allegiance to Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like, you know, hundreds and thousands of people started joining him and gave promises that, you know, please, you know, request Imam Hussain to come, we will be with him, etc. Now Imam Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and sent it through with someone to pass it on. And this person traveled all the way to Makkah Sharif and gave the letter. And in this letter, it was a green signal. Please come. There's so much, you know, scope and opportunity here. People are so loving and caring. Please come. This is the best time to come. So now Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't have any other options. That's it. We're going ahead. They got together, give the last respect in the court of the Holy Kaaba, did the tawaf and cried. And the whole, it's written that, you know, people of Makkah, they were crying. Even the kids were crying that the grandson of Rasulullah is leaving now. However, these people, they were firm. They're going there for a good intention. They're going there for deen. They're going there for Islam, to protect the iman of people, to spread the Islamic knowledge.
Look at the value of protecting people's iman that Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. Already he's left Madinatul Munawwara. Now he's leaving Makkatul Mukarramah as well. The two blessed cities, he has left both of them, and the reason is to protect the iman
so
of people.
The day that Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu left Makkatul Mukarramah, this was 3rd of Dhul Hijjah. So let me take you a bit back now. So Rajab, in the month of Rajab, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. In Shaban, the following month, Imam Hussain left Madinah Sharif. And then after Shaban is Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. So in Dhul Hijjah, Imam Hussain left from Makkah Sharif. towards Kufa.
Just before Hajj.
Just before the Hajj time, yeah.
SubhanAllah.
That was another thing to look at. Normally we don't talk about that. This was a great opportunity for Imam Hussein to spend those blessed days there and perform Hajj.
Perform Hajj and then go.
Then go. Allahu Akbar. Even, looking at the need, Imam Hussein made that decision and they all traveled. And now, this journey took place. People, they were traveling for days and days. But on the other side, things changed rapidly. The people of Yazid became aware. They made Ibn Ziyad a governor, and he was given a big army, and they took over the place of Kufa, and there was oppression there. There was a really difficult time, and to a level that they murdered Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they made him shaheed, and they did so much more cruelty over there. Now all this has happened. Now this place became a no-go area. It's not secure anymore. But from the other side, Imam Hussein made that decision. They're traveling. Now what happened? They continue this journey. Even during the journey, scholars have written, they were considering, what should we do? Should we go, not go? Things are looking tight over there. You get a bit of vibes, you get a bit of understanding sometimes when you travel. But Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he left with the intention to guide people, he's remained firm. He said, no matter what, we're going to continue. We're going to go. So they carried on going, and then they got very close to Kufa. And when they got near, then what happened, there was one person, he was given a task to take 1,000 horsemen and encircle the group of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and bring him to Ibn Ziyad, bring him to Yazid and his people. And this person was known as Hur bin Yazid. Hur bin Yazid, this is not the son of Yazid, by the way. Remember before, name Yazid was very common. Yeah, in the Sahaba, people used to have this name. Yeah, so this is not referring to Hur, the son of this particular Yazid. That's a different person. So Hur bin Yazid was a person who had a lot of love and respect for Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt, the blessed family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, because he was tasked to take 1,000 people, and they were horsemen, they had weapons with them as well, and now if he was to show any leniency, like a soft corner, then there was a danger that they will probably harm him. So he came in a respectful manner. He said, oh Imam Hussein, look, I've been given this task, that's why I've come here, and I've been instructed to not let you go anywhere from here. There's no way going back, there's no way going forward to Kufa. You need to come to Ibn Ziyad and towards that area where they were, governor house or wherever, and they were told to come. And now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he left Medina Sharif, he left with the mindset, whatever happens, I'm not going to join that camp. I've said no to Yazid, I'm not going to follow his allegiance. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was firm. That was, just imagine 82 people and the 1,000 people around you. It's scary. Anything can happen.
And the reason for originally not pledging allegiance, and the reason now is still the same.
It's still the same. Because that person Yazid and his people, they're evil. They're bad people and they are not nice individuals. And I cannot be friends with them. I cannot make, become an ally for them. I can't break, friend. I can't become a companion of them.
Yeah.
So therefore, he said, whatever happens, I'm not going to go. And now things have changed. Yeah. And now Hur bin Yazid was confused. What do we do? He said, look, whatever happens, I can't let you go forward. So whilst these things were taking place, what happened? Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he was stopped from Kufa. Remember, that was the original journey.
Yes.
He was stopped from Kufa, and they had to put the camp somewhere and spend some days or whatever. They had to make a decision. So they've turned on the side route and they went to a plain land. And this was land was called Karbala. And now they've put their camp there. The ladies are there, children are there, and they had limited provisions, food. Remember, these people didn't come with the mindset of a battle.
Yeah.
Yeah? And now what happened, the other side, they become more angry that he's not coming to where the Yazid wanted them to come. So now Ibn Ziyad and the whole group of army, they just started coming. They started, you know, to scare them, to put pressure on them. And one, like slowly, so many troops came. There were about 22,000 people. On one side, there were 22,000. On the other side, there were 82 people. And, you know, well, this is not a war. Yeah? These 22,000 people are fully loaded with weapons. Yeah, and they had horses, they had all sort of things, you know, swords and, you know, knives or whatever they had at that time. And this side, there's only, you know, simple people, you know, simple as in, like, they weren't there for a battle. They didn't have provision, they didn't have food. 7th of Muharram. Then these people, they cut the access of water as well. There was a river Furat is called, Euphrates. There was a river flowing there, they could see the reservoir, the river flowing. But this camp of Imam Hussein, they were told, whatever happens, you can't drink from that river. They were stopped. And you know, scholars have written on this point, that Allahu Akbar, although the camp of Imam Hussein were not allowed to drink from that water, so they were thirsty. They could see water, but they couldn't. They were not allowed to drink from it. So they were thirsty. And it was really painful. 3 days going like this. On the other side, the people of Yazid, 22,000 people, they drank so much from that place. But even then, they would drink so much. They would feel so thirsty, and they would drink extra water from there. But as soon as they leave from there, they'll feel thirsty again. Okay. So that water was not enough to quench their thirst as well. So it did not quench the thirst of both sides. Yeah, because then people were evil.
It's another lesson. If you're doing evil things, you'll see a lack of blessings in the sustenance that you're
Allah
giving.
Allah, they had so much they had water, full river. But it wasn't enough for them.
Yeah, they had a full river, but Allah it wasn't enough for them.
So now, after these few days more passed, now 10th of Muharram, Fajr namaz. Remember this, all that period, Muslims, 82 people in the camp of Imam Hussein, and 22,000 people on the other side, they called themselves Muslims as well. Both sides, they had separate jamaat. They used to read their own salah, Imam Hussein and the people, Sahaba, they used to read their own jamaat. And they were, even that in the, you know, in difficulty, they had no idea what's going to happen. This fear, this scary feeling that anything can happen now. And they had no food, no drink. They had limited army, they had limited weapons with them. And in that day, in the weakness, even then they were so firm and they performed their namaz. They said that Fajr namaz was the last jamaat that they performed. So just imagine how painful that namaz would have been at that time.
For us, because they didn't have water or food, it looks like they must have been weak. Yeah. But they were the strongest of
they
people.
They were the strongest because their iman was at peak. The iman, the faith in Islam, the faith in Allah was so high. They had that inner power, this will power, and they continued. They did not stop their worship because of these difficulties. They continued. They knew this is a test. They knew the whole thing is a test. If Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted, he could have made dua for the cursing of the people. And if Imam Hussein could have asked, that Allah would have poured his mercy toward them. But Imam Hussein didn't do that. Imam Hussein remained firm. He knew this is a test. The test, remember, if you look at the history of Islam, the test has come to great people. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. You know, all many prophets, if not all the prophets, had some form of tests, trials. Yeah, and you know, this is something that the selected people get this test.
The greater the people, the greater the test.
Allah, but the person who is more closer to Allah, they will get the harder tests. And this was a test from Allah Ta'ala, and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ready to face anything. I was content. He didn't complain. Yeah, he was very firm. Allahu Akbar. And now, 10th of Muharram, it was afternoon, where we get chance to perform our Jummah namaz. Muslims get together. You know, we happily, proudly can pray Jummah. But in the plains of Karbala, it wasn't the same. It was so difficult that the Muslims had to go through a very painful day. Allahu Akbar. There's a time that when Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu picked up his own beautiful son, Ali Asghar. He was only 6 months old, and put him towards the camp of the Yazid, and like to show them at least have mercy on him. What's his fault? What's he done wrong? They were so heedless and ashamed people. They had no respect. That one of them people, they threw an arrow. and he struck the neck of this baby, Ali Asghar. Yeah. And in his own father's lap and hands, he passed away.
This baby is the great grandson of
the great grandson of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had no shame, they had no respect. They were evilest people on the earth. And just imagine how painful it was for that family who was there. The wife of Imam Hussein, the sister of Imam Hussein, the other women who were there. Just imagine how difficult it was to see what these people have done. And then it did not stop. One by one, there was like so many dead bodies there. You know, they were all martyred on the plains of Karbala. And then finally Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said his final farewell to the honorable ladies. There was only one man left who survived from the whole camp of Imam Hussein, and that was the middle son of Imam Hussein, Sayyiduna Zainul Abideen radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was severely ill for some days. He was so weak and ill, and he could not physically go and, you know, take part in the fight outside. And also Imam Hussein instructed him, you are the carer and guardian for these women. You need to look after them. And so he remained back, but the rest, all the men, they didn't leave anyone left alone. One by one, and then finally Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu went in front of them as well, had a long battle, and the other side, many of them, they died as well. They got killed, but because there's so many number of the other people, there was wounds everywhere on the blessed body of Imam Hussein. There was blood, there was wounds, and finally on the 10th of Muharram, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, fell down, and some scholars have written he fell down in the state of sajda. And that's how he became martyred. And one evil person, he came from the back and he struck his sword from behind and separated the neck, the blessed neck of Imam Hussein from the body. Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilayh. They were so evil, so bad people. They were so cruel. You know, any worst you can think of them, they deserved that. And these people, they thought they've done something, like they've achieved something big. Yeah. Even then they didn't realize. Yeah. Now, 72 people have been martyred, and 10 people survived, and one of them was, the rest were females, one was Imam Zainul Abideen radiallahu ta'ala. This cruelty did not stop. It continued. It continued, and later on the people of Yazid, they came and attacked the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara, even Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, and they put horses there, and so many evil things they did. But even one by one, all these people were involved. One by one, in the coming years, they got destroyed. They got the wrath of Allah, and they were tortured afterwards. They got their return. Even now in the graves, they are getting punished. However, this is one of the greatest tragedies that have taken place in the history. And this discussion, although I did say we're going to talk about for only 5 or 10 minutes, but it was so deep topic, and it's like, what do you leave behind? There are so many things to talk about. But the key thing is for us, for all of us who are watching this program, we need to remember this incident, this tragedy is not just something, when you look at the history and it's just there. No, this is a life lesson. Karbala is a life lesson. We have to remember this. It's a life lesson. Very important lessons we learn from this whole tragedy, and we must implement that in our life. And one of the keys, most important, the key thing was in the whole journey, stand with the truth. Stand with the truth, even if you have to stand alone. So in this case, 22,000 people on one side, 82 people, handful of people on one side, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted to give the lives away of his own sons, cousins, relatives, companions, one by one, 71 of them. At the end, he gave his own life as well on this pride, on this passion that for the glory of Islam.
This is the lesson, isn't it? That even in times of difficulty and hardship, stay firm on Islam, stay firm on truth, and never go in the way of oppression. Never give in to oppression.
So this is something we all have to keep in mind. We have two choices in life, truth and false. You know, this person, if I join him, I'm doing something wrong. Yeah, you got two companies or two choices. You got bad company, good company, or you got two decisions to make, false and truth. Then remember, Muslims stand with the truth. Always be honest. Muslim is not a person who cheats. Muslim is not a person who lies, who covers things up and they lie. There's no such thing. The quality of a Muslim is Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has given his life away for the sake of truth, for the sake of upholding the honor and dignity of Islam. And the question for me and you is, what are we doing? We see many things around us. Many people who are around us, they do so many wrong things and we just let them carry on. We don't speak up. We're not vocal. We just let the things happen. Your own family, your own friendship, your own classmates, they do wrong things. They're swearing, they're cheating, they're violating someone's rights, and they're doing all sorts of wrong things. They're lazy in salah. We just stay quiet. We don't do anything. Why? This is not the message of Karbala. We all need to reflect upon this. Brother Arkam, if you could give us a bit of a list of lessons we learn from Karbala, just summarize them if you can, inshallah.
So the first one, I think we've already mentioned that stay firm on your prayers, on your salah. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even in that situation, they were performing their prayers, they were performing their salah. The family of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even in the plains of Karbala, they were performing their prayers. And if we look at society or the way we are today, we leave our salah or our prayer for little things. If we go out somewhere with our friends or we got something else that we think is more important, we leave our salah for a little thing. But Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the plains of Karbala, in that difficult situation, even then they were performing their salah. Even then they were performing their prayers. So that's a lesson for us from the incident of Karbala, that stay firm on your prayers, stay firm on salah. And then another lesson we take from Karbala is the love we should have for the glorious Quran, the love we should have for reciting the glorious Quran. As it was mentioned at the incident of Karbala, there was an individual who separated the blessed head of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu from his blessed body. But after that happened, it's mentioned that even then, from the blessed tongue of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people could hear verses of the Quran being recited.
Allah Akbar.
If that's the situation of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that after his blessed head is separated from his body, people can still see him reciting the glorious Quran, imagine how much connection they would have had with the glorious Quran during their life. Imagine how much they would have recited the glorious Quran throughout their life. Now for us, we should reflect on this lesson, that how much do we recite the glorious Quran? How much do we love the glorious Quran? How much do we fulfill the rites of the glorious Quran? Do we even know how to recite the glorious Quran properly? When was the last time we opened the glorious Quran? Is it a book that we only open or we only look at in the month of Ramadan? Or do we recite it other than that as well? The lesson Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave us in Karbala is that you should love the glorious Quran. You should recite the glorious Quran on a regular basis.
Allahu Akbar.
Two of the main lessons is perform your salah, kind of strong with your prayer in whatever situation you are in, and recite the glorious Quran.
The lessons of Karbala.
I think one thing to remember is whenever we talk about Karbala or the incident of Karbala, it's we seem to think or remember the martyrs as victims. Remember the martyrs of Karbala or the family members of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were victims.
Allah.
They were heroes of Islam. They're our heroes.
And
we need to remember them as our heroes. The lessons that they left there, the legacy that they left, is a lesson for life for us. That always stand with the truth, never stand with falsehood. And if you see something is wrong, don't stand with it, stand against it.
Allah Akbar. You know, this is true what you just mentioned, the legacy. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has left behind a legacy. And today, if you were to travel around the world, you'll find people who, remember who was left from there, from the sons of Imam Hussein? Only one son. And the lineage, the blessed lineage of the honorable family of the Prophet spread through the Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And throughout the world, wherever you travel, Asia, Africa, Arab world, in the Europe, in UK, wherever you travel, you'll find people who are Sayyid, who are from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other side of Yazid, wherever you go, you don't find his family. You don't find people, you don't even find their name, very rarely, non-existent. You don't find people who are called Yazid. Whenever Yazid is mentioned, he's mentioned as a person who is cursed, who's an evil character. Every Muslim who's aware of the family of the Prophet ﷺ, they remember this great name, and people are named. People feel honored and privileged to keep the name of their own children as Hussein.
Oh,
yeah, Ghulam Hussein, Muhammad Hussein, Hassan Hussein. No, Muslims all around the world, you'll find these names very common. And that shows you that the legacy, the teachings of Imam Hussein, they remain firm, they spread throughout the Islam, whereas the style and approach of Yazid, that just died. Yeah, in the Islamic field I'm talking about, in the Islamic world, that doesn't exist. Although in the world you do see Yazid character in various forms. Yeah, that is evil as well, that is bad. Yeah, but in the Islamic principles, you won't find that. You won't find that. Whenever Yazid is mentioned, he's not mentioned with a good name. And that's what we need to think as well. What legacy are we leaving behind? Are we leaving a good legacy or a bad legacy? This is for me and you to think about. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon all of us. Please study the life of the blessed family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get more closer to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, get closer to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Please look after yourself. Inshallah, we'll be back next week. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Until then, look after yourself. Stay safe. I love Islam.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love